Sunday, October 4th, 1:23 a.m. Actually, I've been up for quite a while. I went to see my friends yesterday, and we social distanced very well. We met in one of my friends, Mike. We met in his garage, so he kept the garage door open, and two guys sat in the driveway, and two sat in the somewhat in the garage. So it was, and stayed pretty much far apart. So not too concerned about that. I didn't really want nobody wore a mask because we didn't feel like it, I guess. Maybe I was stupid, I don't know. But anyway, I usually take like a little power nap in the afternoon, and I didn't have a chance to do that yesterday, and I came home and did some other stuff, and then sat down and ate some dinner, and started to watch some TV, and I fell asleep like around probably around 7 or 7:30 or something like that, and then I got up around a little after 10 and went to bed. But then I went to bed, and first I had to deal with the dog, let him go out and do his potty number in the evening, and then come back in. And I went to bed, and then I realized, oh, I left the recording machine on. So I went out the garage and turned it off, and I go, oh, I left the window open in there, open. So I closed that and walked back, and the wife was still trying to do her little things before she goes to bed to get to bed. And so I went to bed, and then shortly afterwards she came in, and so she kind of woke me up a little bit there in that way, and then we were talking just a little, and she fell asleep, and here I am laying, saying, maybe I can fall asleep, let me just stay here. So I stayed there for quite a while, and then I said, well, I'm wide awake, so let me just get up and do some of these things I need to do. So I got up, and it was 11:45, and up until now I've been working on these fluorescent lights fixtures in my studio. Excuse me. And I've been wanting to convert the fluorescent lights over to the daylight LED lights, and luckily they came up with a way of making it so you can just change the light bulbs now. It used to be you had to disconnect the ballast and tuck it away or throw it away or whatever, and just run straight AC to the LED lights. But now they've got LED lights that actually work off the ballasts. And the one I wanted to change was one that needed to be changed because that light would flicker on off and on sometimes, and sometimes work and sometimes not work. So I figured there might be a problem with the ballast on that. So I changed the bulbs, and yeah, it wasn't working. And I checked the ballast. I should have checked the ballast first, I guess. But so I checked the ballast, and oh yeah, it was bad. So I went back and got a new ballast, and that was yesterday. And that was a long process in itself because of certain things. When the checkout person scanned the barcode, it didn't come up, and she typed in all the numbers and it still didn't come up. So what's one of those situations where you're in the line and everybody's behind you, and you got this one little item and they got tons of stuff that they want to deal with. And this checkout clerk was really on her game, and she pretty much kept at it and finally figured it out, figured it out and got the charge going. And so that's what took so long for that. But anyway, so I came back, and this evening, or just now, I went ahead and decided to, let me work on that and get that done. I did it, and it works, and it's fine, and I love that color light. It's nice, a daylight type of a bright daylight that happens. So when I bought the bulbs, I bought four, so I was going to change the other two in the adjacent light, Well, actually, there I got five fluorescent lights. I got three on the north end of the studio and two, which is the garage door side, on that end. And I was going to change those two out because that's the side I paint on anyway. Anyway, so I went to change those bulbs out and it didn't work. So I said, okay, well, maybe one of these bulbs is bad. So I switched them around. Now it's one side didn't work at all, and the other side was working half-assed, okay, because it's a two bulb fluorescent light system. And so I put the other bulbs back in, and yeah, now the one that was working before is not working, okay. And I said, well, shit, what happened? Did I screw something up? And so I flipped bulbs around to see if that was it. No, that's not it. Okay, well, let me check the ballast now. And so I checked the ballast, and sure enough, that one's bad too. And that light was always kind of on the dim side, so I guess it was going, now that I think of it, that it was always brighter than the other one, and it's the only one actually giving me light on this end of the building, the garage. So now I gotta change that one out too. And that brings me to now. So I wanted to come out here, knock that first one out, change the bulbs, and start painting. So that kind of delayed everything. So let me start painting here and see what happens. Oh, well, when I visited my friends yesterday, it was good to see them again. And two of them are still working at AT&T. We all worked the same job. And one of the C actually all three of them I trained to do the final job that I was working on, which was you got the fiber cable with all its digital light going through it, and it has to be converted into usable dial tone or internet or whatever, okay, and or digital transport. And that's what I did. I actually turned up and tested the equipment at the end of those fiber cables. And when I first started doing that, there was a learning curve to it. It wasn't a simple matter of just put the fibers here and then put the power on there and connect the customer. It wasn't that. You actually had to go in there and say, okay, well, here's the situation. It's this unit that we're dealing with. It's in a fiber ring. We got nodes on each side of it to other customers, and you got your node in this building for this customer, and you got to tell the other nodes in the whole ring that, okay, here's a new node in this sonnet ring. So it's that kind of bullshit where it's really complicated, and you got to cross all your T's and dot all your I's to get the thing turned up and working. But so now it's when I left, it's pretty much that you mount a unit on the wall and you get power to it and you put the fibers in it and voila, you talk to some other technician in Atlanta who's monitoring everything, and he can see everything, and he does all the configuration of the unit. So that's when I left, that's kind of what it was. And but there was still a lot of maintaining of the equipment or dealing with the equipment that was still more complicated than that. So that wasn't but that's where the technology was headed. It was simplified to for installation and for the customer to deal with. Anyway, so those three guys I trained to do all that, the sonnet work. And we were all splicers. We all started off as splicers. And one of them, Jeff, I actually he came into the company. I actually trained him how to be a splicer too, a cable splicer. So I have a long-standing relationship with him more than with Mike or Jimbo, the other guy that was there. Mike had come from the Bay Area and transferred up here, and Jimbo did too. And I don't know if they knew each other. I don't think they knew each other down there. It doesn't sound like it because Jimbo was in the southern part of the Bay Area, and Mike was, I think, like an Oakland area type of, or Alameda part of the area. And anyway, so we all got together and we got filled in on what's happening with the company, the guys, me and Jimbo, that because we no longer work there, we don't really hear what's going on and all the ramifications of that. And so let's see, so what else? Okay, I'm looking at the painting, so I'm thinking, well, okay, let me get that done too. So let me get painting here. Anyway, so that's what it is. We just got filled in. We kind of bullshit about politics and stuff like that. And we talked to Mike's son, and a teenager who's, I guess, out of high school now and going into college and stuff. And I guess it's virtual college, but also holding down a job. So we talked to him for a while too, and laughed about some of the stuff the younger kids believe in. And so that's pretty much it. And so let me get painting here, because I've got some ideas. I want to work on the painting. 3:32 a.m. I was as I was painting, I was remembering how you learn things about what paint does and what the pigments do. And you kind of like try to always make it evolve into something that you haven't, somewhere where you haven't gone, by going down the road, or actually maybe even just going down this further down the road that you were going down before, that you remember, as far as how you're laying your paint down, what kind of pigment you're using, blah blah blah, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, so I was just thinking about that. Again, I was thinking about some memories I had when I first started painting, back in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, when I picked up painting again. I had a girlfriend, and she was kind of on the artsy side. She was trying to learn pottery making, and we were talking one day, and she was. The way I met her was, she was working for a friend of mine that was actually a potter. And so she was trying to get involved with that, learn it and the whole thing. And we were talking about learning artistic stuff. And I already had gone through working for Pacific Telephone. I started off as an operator. I went through their little training to become an operator, and then I did the operator job for a couple of years, and then they gave me the opportunity to kind of like half supervise. You had like this service assistant title. You were still an operator, and getting operator pay, but as a service assistant, you could get away from the work and handle special problems that some operators might have, unruly customer, or didn't know how to do something or whatever. And I was given that opportunity to do that, and that way I also was given the opportunity to train new operators. And that was something that I think helped me in learning more about my own human nature, as far as how I learn stuff and what have you. And I we were well me, I was talking with my girlfriend at the time, and she was I forgot what exactly what it was about, but I just wanted to talk about how the conversation ended. And we were talking, and she was talking about how she wanted to understand how we got to a certain artistic point in our life, trying to better ourselves, try to get to that master or whatever of the whatever craft it is that you're practicing. And I basically said, well, pretty much is the more you apply yourself and keep on doing the action of the work, you'll learn more. And she got a little indignant and said, "What do you mean, rote? Learn it by rote? Like that's not how you actually achieve anything." I said, "Yeah, and she was kind of like disgusted with me when I said that. And well, you know, after a couple of weeks, we kind of broke up. So maybe we're headed down that road. We weren't really together that long anyway. But I always thought it was kind of funny. Well, how else do you learn something unless you do it? You know? Yeah, there's no pill you can take it and automatic or class you can go to with some insight in that class that will give you some insight that puts you on the right road and you'll get to success at the end. You know, the road that you have to take is to actually do the work and make mistakes and figure out why something doesn't work and why you did it that way and what you can do now to get away from that. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. But that was kind of a fun time in my life, you know, living the young artist type thing, having a bunch of different girlfriends and living a life that's somewhat carefree. So anyway, back on pause. Another observation about painting is when you're actually laying down a certain pigment or hue or whatever you want to call it, or dark and light, and you're creating the composition, the play between what you're putting down and what's already there is actually, well, for me, is actually influencing what the composition is going to be. Pigment, you know, you can force pigment to go in any shape you want. So if you got like a grid, you know, you can just keep everything really sharp and whatever. But I like to paint in puddles sometimes, and I let the puddle go out where it is. But I'm also being influenced by what it's doing to the composition and what composition I'm creating at the same time, and you know, maybe add a little bit more white on something or a little bit more of the pigment on there to get it a richer hue. So, but it's also at the same time creating that composition. And I guess that's just that would be I don't know if anybody really thinks about that when they're actually doing the stuff, but I guess I kind of am in the background of my mind. Okay, more pause. 5:48 a.m. Okay, I painted on the palette. I painted some more, and now I'm cleaned up for the time being, and I'm going to do my regular daily stuff. 8:08 a.m. Okay, I'm getting feeling starting to feel a no, well, not the no sleep, but getting up so early. I think I'll take a nap today, so this is pretty much it for the recordings. Have a good one.